truth forever and never forsakes the works of His hands. Amen. Beloved congregation, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing in worship to God, Psalter 280, the first and third and fourth stanza, based on Psalm 103, Psalter 280, 1, 3, and 4. Let's read together two passages from the Gospel according to Matthew. First from Matthew 6, verse 9 to 15, Matthew 6. And then we'll turn to Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35. First Matthew 6, 9 to 15. We continue our study of the Lord's Prayer this afternoon, and we will look at, especially at the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, where we ask, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But let's read Matthew 6, beginning at verse 9, where Jesus says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And then we go to Matthew 18, where those last two verses are further explained by the Lord Jesus, beginning at verse 21, Matthew 18. Peter comes to the Savior and says, Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, means very angry, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise, says Jesus, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So far, the Word of God. And as I said, we will be looking at the fifth petition, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And let us just read what the Catechism writes about this, Lord's Day 51, page 86, in the back of the Psalter. Question and answer 126. Here we are asked the question, which is the fifth petition? And the answer, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. With the Church of All Ages, we now make confession of the truths about our triune God as expressed in the Apostles' Creed. Let us do that now with mouth and heart. And you have it in the back of the bulletin if you don't quite know it. Let's confess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's sing now to God's praise, Psalter 217. Psalter 217. most of the songs this service will speak about the forgiving mercy and grace of God in Christ Jesus. Let's now call upon the Lord and ask for His blessing as we worship together. Dear Lord, most holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what a privilege that for a second time this day we may meet here together in all comfort and in all freedom, and we may sit under the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this afternoon we may be reminded of the amazing gospel truth of the forgiveness of our sins for Jesus' sake alone. O Lord, we pray that as confessing Christians, this gospel truth may just fill our hearts with so much joy, and that it may be a truth that we so treasure, that we never can get over, and that we keep needing for ourselves and keep looking to Jesus for and keep rejoicing in Him about, that through Him we may have this amazing blessing of the forgiveness of all our sins. We pray that You will help us this afternoon also in the preaching, through the preaching, to see what an amazing thing this is. We pray, bless us, that also those who maybe are not saved among us, who don't know the forgiveness of sins, that they may seek for it, that they may look unto Jesus and call for that forgiveness, that they too may have that burden of guilt and sin removed from their hearts and lives, and know that they are reconciled with God and His children and heirs of eternal life. O Lord, so bless us through the Word also as we gather together this afternoon. We thank You for all who have come, and we pray, bless each one who is here and bless us all together. We pray for those who are not here. We think of Jeanette Miller. Remember her, as she surely would have liked to come but wasn't feeling well. We pray for Brother Paul Kirkkonen too. Remember him as he is in this stage in his life when we may call it the valley of the shadow of death. We thank You that You have gone in that valley before us, and that You have transformed that valley so that it may be like the passing of this life into the realm of eternal life. O Lord, and yet death can be a last enemy, but we read in Corinthians it's the last enemy that's conquered by the Lord Jesus for us. And so we may know we are safe in and through Him, in life and in death. And when everyone has to let go, You will still hold our hand and lead us and bring us to glory. When we belong to You, when we may know that forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray, O God, bless each household among us. We think of our children and youth, and we pray for them. We pray, bless them in their schoolwork. Bless them as they also think of the summer already and have plans for summer, at least some. And we pray, bless the plans and the efforts to get training and to get learning for future careers. Lord, bless our youth that they may grow up to be men and women who fear and love the Lord, and who whatever place or station they have in life will serve You. We pray too that You will give Your church more laborers for the work of the ministry here in the churches locally, but also in mission fields abroad, as we thought this morning of the country of Egypt. There are so many other needy countries. Lord, help that the gospel cause may be proclaimed, a gospel message throughout the ends of the earth. And for that we pray, give us indeed more laborers. And could it be even from our church that You will raise up those who are called by You for the ministry of the gospel, that the churches may support and pray for, and that they may be on the front line, as it were, bringing that gospel to the ends of the earth. Dear Lord, we pray for our country, Canada. We thank You for this beautiful country, and yet we know it's a country full of sin and full of sinfulness. We pray that we may not overlook that, but that we may also repent of our national sins, that we may feel the guilt of the sins of us as a nation, as also our guilt, for we are part of this nation. O Lord, And we too so often can just overlook sin and not mind it so much. Oh, keep us from that. Give us a very tender conscience that the least sin deeply trouble us, and that we come to You for forgiveness of all our sins, but also that we pray that there may come revival in the churches and across our land, that people may be awakened, that Thou art a holy God and that sin is most offensive, and that there's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. Lord, we pray, bless that gospel cause. We pray for those in our country who are leaders, and we ask for strength and wisdom for them, especially for confessing Christians in government positions. Help them in their dangerous and often difficult positions, and give them wisdom, and give them integrity, and give them faithfulness and perseverance also in their stations. Lord, we pray this afternoon for Your blessing also as we have a preparatory service next week. We hope to have Lord's Supper. Lord, may it be a feast day in which we may glory in Christ together, and grant as we think of that sacrament that we may examine ourselves, not to see if we can be worthy of ourselves to attend the Lord's Supper, but to see whether we are in the faith, trusting Christ alone as the only Savior from all our sins and sinfulness. So bless us, Lord, and be with us with Your Holy Spirit. Grant that though we may know much about the forgiveness of sins, yet that we may never tire of hearing it again, and that it may be as something fresh and new to us, time and again. So bless us, we pray. Keep away the evil one who may hinder us in worship with all kinds of distractive thoughts. We pray for all those who have lots of pressures at work, also among us. We pray for help in daily labors, Lord. Will You give strength for the work that's set before us and enable us that we may do all things as unto the Lord. And bless our work that so we may provide for our families and households, and even have that which we may give for the cause of Your church and kingdom. So hear our prayer. Lord, we ask it not because we deserve it, but for Jesus' sake alone, pleading for the ministry of the Holy Spirit as we are here together. In Jesus' name, amen. We will now sing Psalter 65, but first you are given opportunity to give your offerings for the cause of the church and the gospel cause here in Calgary. And then we will sing Psalter 65 after prayer, after which we will have a sermon on the fifth petition. Gracious God, as we think of the subject of the forgiveness of sins, and if we know what that means, then we know that there's no gift of ours which we give for Your cause that can ever really in any way be what is Thy due for all Thy undeserved mercy and abundant salvation for us. in Christ Jesus. May we give with that kind of attitude. And may we delight to be able to be involved in this part of your church. That you will use also these funds in your providence for the furtherance of your church and kingdom. That you will multiply it for good in your amazing power and grace. Lord, that Jesus may be known. And that the gospel of the forgiveness of sins may be heard for many who never have heard it. In Jesus' name, amen. Going the Sermon Psalter 362, which is based on Psalm 130. 362, which is also entitled in the Psalter, Redemption and Forgiveness. Redemption and Forgiveness. We are still studying the Lord's Prayer together. And this afternoon we have before us, as mentioned, the fifth petition, the fifth request that Jesus says we may make when we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What a great blessing it is that this too is included in the Lord's Prayer. Just imagine if Jesus hadn't included this request in the prayer that he teaches us to pray. True Christians will shudder at the thought that this would not be included. And true Christians just can't get over it, that this is a petition we may ask over and over again. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How important this fifth petition is. Jesus himself shows that it's very important. And we may see that even from the fact that it's the one petition that's referred to, that Jesus has extra words about, that he comes back to. After he brought out the prayer, he comes back to this fifth petition. He discusses it more. Of all the topics in the prayer, Jesus specially enlarged upon this, the fifth petition. It's very fitting too that today, in this preparatory service, we may study this petition. You can say, the Lord's table really is for all confessing Christians who pray this petition in spirit and in truth. That the subject of forgiveness is most important is not hard to understand, considering really it's the heart of the gospel that we're going to be talking about now when we speak about Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ came into this world with power to forgive sins. And no one can be a Christian truly unless he or she has asked for forgiveness and received forgiveness of sins. The Truth Congregation of free and full forgiveness has always been the heartbeat of the gospel, the Christian gospel. It's the secret of the Christian religion. It's what distinguishes us from all false religions. It's the priceless treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's study together this petition. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In this petition we have, as mentioned in the bulletin, a mighty request with a fitting test which God will surely bless. A mighty request with a fitting test which God will surely bless. Those three thoughts in that theme line are also our 3 points for this sermon. Forgive us our debts. This is a mighty request. Yes, for to ask congregation for the forgiveness of your sins from God is to ask for the greatest thing possible. It's more than asking if you owed somebody $1 billion and ask, please forgive me, and he would forgive you. This is way more than that. To ask for forgiveness of our sins from God is to ask for the greatest thing possible. It is to ask for something that, humanly speaking, you or I could never acquire or buy, and that we never ever deserve. And it is to ask for something that totally changes our life here below, and that very much affects our destiny in eternity. To ask God for the forgiveness of our sins and our debts is to make a tremendous request. And then to receive the forgiveness of sins is something miraculous beyond measure. It's something unbelievably wonderful. The parable that Jesus told about that man forgiven all his debts suggests that too. Wow, he was forgiven all his debts. Well, let's dwell on this a bit more. Why it's such a mighty request. Let's focus on this more. It's good for us to underscore this, congregation, because if anything should be a constant great wonder to you and to me as confessing Christians, it is this whole matter of the forgiveness of sins. There are too many confessing Christians around today for whom the forgiveness of sins is not such a big deal. But I tell you, it's the greatest thing in the whole universe. When we are Christians, but not excited about and not glorying in God's forgiveness of our sins, then there's something terribly lacking and wrong in our Christianity. For the living and the healthy Christian, the matter of the forgiveness of sins is not something minor, but it's something of major importance and of major significance and of major celebration again and again and again. Is it that way with you? That's a good question in this preparatory week. Forgive us our debts. This is a mighty request, congregation. Indeed, for just consider that word debts. Our debts, your debts and mine. The word debts here is a synonymous term, another term for our sins. Debts refers literally to what we owe. In Luke, it's the word sins. But it's also, you could also say it's, a synonymous term would be our transgressions, our iniquities, our trespasses, our disobediences before God and His holy law. And you notice the word is in the plural. Forgive us our debts. Suggesting our sins and trespasses are not few and far between, no. But they are many. They are very many. We are guilty of countless sins. All kinds of sins before God and our neighbor, you and I. Let me prove that. Think just of your sins in thought before God and people. Aren't you guilty of many such sins? Even this week, wrong thoughts before God and in regards to people. I'll let God answer this question. Let's hear God answer it for us. What is God's observation of man in Genesis 6 verse 5, the natural man? We are told there in that passage, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I'm sure you showed that this week too. Wrong thoughts. But let's go on. Let's think next about countless sins and debts in connection with our words. The use of our tongue. Aren't we guilty of lots of sin that way too? How about you this past week? Before God and other people, did you never sin with your tongue? Well, let's have God's word answer this question too. What does James the Apostle make clear about our tongue as we are in ourselves? He says it's an unruly evil in our body, in our lives. It's full of deadly poison. Notice what he says. The tongue, he says, is a world, literally cosmos of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body. I don't believe there was any one of us here who didn't sin with our tongue this past week before God and before our neighbor. Our sins just in thought and word, who can count them? And then, you know, there's more. There is our sins in our deeds. Our sins in our actions. We sin time and again in our walk of life, don't we? By failing to do in our actions what God tells us to do. And on the other hand, by doing exactly the things that God tells us not to do. Did you not this week sometimes do the things God tells you not to do? And fail to do the things God tells you to do? We have this distinction, it's kind of a theological distinction that we make, sins of omission and sins of commission, where we constantly omit to do what God requires, and we commit doing what God forbids. And that's not just a theological distinction to be theological, but to make clear how great are our sins before God. We are guilty, congregation, of so much sin. And to these many sins of thought, word, and deed, which are more than the hairs of our head, the fifth petition now refers when it puts the word for sin or debt in plural and asks, forgive us our debts. When you rightly pray this petition, forgive us our sins, our debts, then you come before God conscious of our manifold transgressions. Oh yes, forgive us our debts is a mighty request, congregation, when you just think of the number of debts we are guilty of. A multitude of foul transgression prevails from day to day. We sing in one of the songs based on Psalm 65. But let's go further. Let's go deeper. And show that this fifth petition is a mighty request, considering also the depth of our sins. Not just the number of our sins, but the depth. As our catechism explains, in this fifth petition, the word sins or debts does not only refer to our countless actual transgressions in thought, word, and deed, but also it has reference to our sinful, depraved nature. You and I commit sins before God and our neighbor because we are sinful, in fact. By nature, we stand guilty before God not only because we commit sin, congregation, but also because we are sin, totally depraved with sin. It's not our sins that make us sinful, but it's our being sinful that makes us sin. Our heart and our mind and our will all are depraved by nature, corrupted through and through. And it's from this evil, corrupt nature that so much sin flows from us. And the Catechism speaks about this depravity which cleaves to us. Lord, forgive us this depravity. Paul calls it the body of sin, which we still have to battle with all our life here. Oh no, God did not create us this way. God created us good. He didn't create us corrupt and with depraved nature. He created us good and after His own image, in true knowledge of God and righteousness and holiness. Our depravity is on account of our own doing, on account of our fall and rebellion in Adam. This depraved nature is part of our guilt before God, the Christian acknowledges. It's part of our guilt. I can't just say it was Adam's fault. It's my fault. It's part of our debt before the Holy One, the Lord. That's when you truly pray this fifth petition. Then you also confess that before God. Then when you pray, forgive us our sins, you think not only of your countless actual sins, but also of your depraved nature, which always cleaves to you as long as you are on this earth. Oh, when a person understands and is conscious, I say, of this meaning of the term, our debts, our sins, in this fifth petition, and when you are convicted of the countless measure and number of our sins and the depth of our sins, then you realize why those who truly pray this petition know themselves as what? As poor sinners. That's not a very popular term today in the world, not in the Christian world either, in the Christian church. You hardly hear it, poor sinners. But it's what we are, according to the Bible, of ourselves. And a healthy Christian, a thriving Christian, a joyful, glad Christian will not forget it. We are in ourselves poor sinners. For on account of our daily transgressions, we have a mountainous debt before God. And on account of our depraved nature, we are in such a deplorable condition that we can do nothing of ourselves to get rid of our debt before God. All we can do left to ourselves is increase our debt more and more. We are poor sinners in ourselves. Like that man in that parable. He was totally in debt. He was hopelessly in debt. We are poor sinners in ourselves. This is what every true child of God knows and keeps knowing. Indeed, that's how God's children learn to know themselves more and more. As they grow in grace, grow in Christ and in Christ's ways, then you don't forget, but you realize more and more what a poor, miserable sinner I am in of myself. We are poor sinners in and of ourselves. That's the truth about us. Do you acknowledge this? Worthy participants at the Lord's Supper acknowledge this every time again. And it's when you realize this that you begin to see the gospel is just so great. It's as this is brought home to us in our lives that we are poor sinners in ourselves that we also begin to understand what a mighty request this is, this fifth petition, to ask God, the all-seeing, the all-knowing, the everywhere present God, to forgive us our debts. Oh yes, it's a mighty request. When you consider the number of our sins and the depth of our sins, and when you consider next what is meant by that word, forgive, forgive. When you ask God to forgive your sins, well, you know what that means when you ask Him that. You ask Him to do something with your sins. And what is that something? Well, that word in the original, forgive, really means hurl away, send away, dismiss, cancel out, bury, annul our sins, please. To forgive. Forgiveness is something very wonderful. It's like, you know, when you have a calculator, electric calculator, and you wrote some or did some figuring on it, but then it messed up, so what do you do to get it cleaned up? You just push the cancel button. And it's all canceled out. You can start fresh again. That's what, like, asking God to forgive our sins. It's even different than a computer, I was thinking. Because with a computer, if you want to get rid of your files, you want to delete your history, you can delete, but it's still in your computer somewhere. But with a calculator, it's gone. It's a better picture of what forgive means. It's gone. It's canceled out. Oh, the prayer of asking for forgiveness is a very bold and mighty request. It means that you ask God to dismiss your debts, to just cancel them, to clear the records altogether, to remember them no more, to put them out of His sight. When you truly pray, forgive us our debts. As Jesus says, we may pray and should pray. Thereby, you request the Lord to dismiss from the records and before His mind and heart all your sins and sinfulness. So that the Lord will never mark them against you again. Never. Never even make mention of them anymore. Indeed, that He even completely obliterates them. Blots them out from His book of remembrance. And that they can never be found again. In Micah talks about the Lord casting our sins behind His back, I think, and in the sea. And I remember one time somebody said, and when we ask for forgiveness, we ask that God does no more fishing for those sins. We ask that He never see them again. As the catechism puts it, the congregation, when we ask God to forgive us our debts, that means we ask that He will never impute our sins to us anymore. When we ask for forgiveness, we pray God that He will never hold it against us, that we have so often missed the mark, and that we have so often trampled His glory underfoot, that we have so often disobeyed His holy law, His good commandments, in thought, word, and deed. And even more we ask, in addition, that He not only forgive our sins, but that He reckon to us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and see that as our record instead. That we may never be condemned before the tribunal of God again. As explained in the question and answer on the forgiveness of sins in question and answer 56 of the Catechism. Well, putting it all together, congregation, what a mighty request this fifth petition is. Is this petition you ask? In this petition, you ask that God, congregation, will not at all be angry with you. Nor that He will not, notwithstanding your sins, He will not see it anymore. You know your sins are a fact. When we're Christians, our sins bother us so much. You are aware of how God is rightly, terribly displeased with all our sins. But you ask Him to dismiss our sins and to get rid of them. And that He will never be angry with us for our sins. Particularly also you pray when you ask for forgiveness that you ask God's favor and His loving kindness upon you. Even in spite of your sins. You ask for His grace and His fellowship upon you. And that He will receive you as His dear child. As one who has no sin at all, in fact. Forgive us our debts, congregation. That is, O Lord, so cancel our debts. That they never provoke Thy holy wrath against us now or hereafter, and so consider us righteous and without sin altogether, that we may be worthy objects of Thy favor now and forever. Well, such is the meaning of the petition, the fifth petition, forgive us our debts. You see what a mighty request, what a tremendous petition this is. Forgive us our debts. With these words, a true prayer requests for himself and for all God's people, in the words of Psalm 51, from all pollution, make me clean. Yes, whiter than the snow. Oh, let my broken heart rejoice and gladness make me know. Blot out all my iniquities and hide my sins from view. Create in me a spirit right. Oh God, my heart renew. Well, without question, this fifth petition is a mighty request. Mighty when you think of the number of sins involved, when you think of the depth of sin involved, when you think of the meaning of forgiveness, and yes, mighty also when you think of it, what we only really deserve of ourselves for our sins and sinfulness. We deserve what? We deserve that God should forever leave us in our sins. To ask for forgiveness from God is to ask to be exempted from the wages of sin. It is to pray God to be delivered from hell and to be brought into heaven instead. asking for forgiveness, we ask to be delivered from the terrible eternal punishment of body and soul, which we only always deserve left to ourselves. And we ask instead to be brought into the eternal glory, which we are completely always unworthy of, and which we can contribute nothing for. Well, I'm trying to bring out what a mighty request this is. To ask God to forgive us our sins. And should God comply with our request, with this fifth petition, oh, that is something miraculous and just out of this world. God forbid that we should ever just take it for granted. And the truth is, God's true people don't take it for granted. But they acknowledge that this is a mighty request, which God, for Christ's sake alone, is pleased to answer. And here we come to our second point. Our second point is that God, He is pleased to answer this request for Jesus' sake. Our theme is, on this petition, that we have here a mighty request with a fitting test which God will surely bless. And we will come back to that fitting test as our third point. We're just going to reverse those points. But let's think now about this, how God will surely bless this request. This is the wonder of the gospel. The Bible teaches us God is most able and willing to forgive us our sins. And yes, He is most desirous to do so for as many as call upon Him, looking unto Jesus. And for as often as you call upon Him, looking unto Jesus, God is ready and willing to forgive. Jesus would not have taught us to pray this petition if He were not ready and willing to forgive. But Jesus exactly taught this petition for us to pray, knowing that through His person and work as Savior of sinners, yes, through His shed blood on Calvary's tree, forgiveness of our sins may be found. In fact, God is a fountain of forgiveness for vile, guilty sinners through the finished work of Jesus Christ, the Savior. He's a fountain of forgiveness for all who cry to Him, and for as often as you and I cry to Him, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And God's true people know that when we pray this petition, forgive us our debts, and that God is willing to forgive us, that doesn't mean that God just overlooks our sins. God never just overlooks sin. There's not a single sin He ever just overlooks. No, God can never do that. For sins are debts owed to God. And debts must be paid. Our sins, bring us in debt to God. And that debt must be paid. And the Scriptures clearly teach us, don't they, that the holy and righteous God will have His justice satisfied. And therefore, we, as the Catechism also teaches us so well, we must make full satisfaction, full payment for our sins, either by ourselves or by another, if we want to have the forgiveness of sins. Now we know, it is very clear, that we ourselves cannot make satisfaction ever for our sins. Never, ever. In fact, all we can do is increase our debts of ourselves. But you see, here is the good news, the gospel of glad tidings. There is the other one. His name is Jesus, which means Savior. He's a Savior of sinners. And the gospel tiding is that with Him, Jesus Christ, the Mediator and Savior of sinners, forgiveness may be found. Jesus Christ, He came to make that payment for the sins of His people. Always you and I may be sure, congregation, God does count. He does reckon all our sins. But He does not mark them against the guilty sinner who cries to the Savior for mercy, pleading His person and work. That's the wonder of God's unspeakable love. You see, God, He imputes, He reckons the debts the debts of the guilty sinner who cries to Him, to the guiltless Savior. And the Savior has carried and carries those sins. He carried those sins and He paid for them. And the cost, oh, was it ever great. It cannot be described that the Savior Jesus Christ paid to make possible the forgiveness of our sins. It cost Him nothing less than His blood, His life. For this reason, our catechism says rightly that to pray truly, forgive us our sins, means to ask the Lord what? Be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute our debts to us. The expression, for the sake of Christ's blood, congregation, means for the sake of His work of redemption, which was finished and accomplished in the sinner's place on the cross of Calvary. Jesus suffered death and hell in the sinner's place. It is of Him, of Christ, that the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 1 verse 7, saying, it is He in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Oh, this is the abundant mercy of God indeed. These gospel tidings in and through Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. Man's greatest problem, your and my greatest problem, is our sin. Our greatest need is forgiveness of our sins. And this is what God graciously and surely and freely and abundantly provides, yes, even for as many as call to Him and cry to Him for mercy for Jesus' sake. Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin, the Bible says. And that is the ground, the foundation, the reason why we may cry out to God again and again, forgive us our debts. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity which always still cleaves to us. How necessary is this petition, not only at the beginning of the Christian life, but again and again throughout the Christian life. Is that your persuasion as well? Is that your realization? If you come rightly to the table, you know there's reason every day to pray. Forgive us our debts for Christ's blood's sake. All of God's children will have to pray this petition as long as they live here on earth. Even the most holiest person among us. And this is so because there remains with us in ourselves that body of sin. We are always in ourselves here below still, poor sinners before God. When we are believers, though we have been forgiven the ultimate penalty of sin, and we are indeed children of God, we are still in ourselves, here below, poor sinners. Though we are forgiven in ourselves, we still need God's constant forgiveness for the sins we continue to commit. One commentator expressed very beautifully what I'm trying to say here. Believers, he said, have experienced once for all God's judicial forgiveness, which they received the moment Christ was trusted as Savior. Believing in Jesus truly, you are no longer condemned. You are no longer under judgment, no longer destined for hell. The eternal judge has declared us pardoned, justified, righteous, yes. And no one can condemn us, bring any charge against God's elect, His saved people. But because we still fall into sin, we yet frequently require God's gracious forgiveness. His forgiveness not now as judge so much, but as Father for our sins still against Him in thought, word, and deed. And God would have us know our sins, that again and again we come to that fountain of all our salvation, Jesus Christ alone and His person and work, His blood shed on sinners' behalf. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. John warns believers in his epistle. Christians who think they don't have much sin and don't have to ask for forgiveness of sin, they're going to lose their love for Jesus and their realization of the need for Jesus from beginning to end. John says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, as judge, God is surely eager to forgive sinners in and through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. And as Father, He is also most eager to keep on forgiving His children as we come to Him with our debts every day again before Him. This is wonderful truth that as vast and as pervasive as the sin of man is, also your sin and mine, God's forgiveness is still more vast and greater yet in and through Jesus Christ. This is the Word of God, Romans 5. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound because of the fountain of cleansing through Jesus Christ. I had to think of a picture of our sins. A mountain of our sins, how high that would be. Well, the fountain for sin and uncleanness, opened through Jesus' shed blood, is higher and washes those sins away for all who trust Him. And what a blessing this is when you may know and experience this grace of God, this forgiveness of sins, not just for the first time, but again and again. When you may believe also in reference to yourself that by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When you may experience, when I may experience the forgiveness of sins, not only once, but repeatedly, then you sink down on your knees and before the Savior in humble adoration and praise. A true Christian can't get over it. The freeness and the fullness and the blessedness of the forgiveness of sins. And that for Jesus' sake. Then you testify with heart and life before God and man, how blessed is he whose trespass has freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for His great redemption, so rich and free for a guilty sinner like me. Oh, dearly beloved congregation, can you say, each and all, you know the fifth petition as a prayer prayed to God and is answered by God in your heart and life for Christ's sake? Do you bring your debts before the Lord? And do you ask Him for Christ's sake to blot them all out? Trusting Christ to do so? Sadly, how many never really ask for forgiveness of sins. They think little of God and His right just demands of us in the law, and they belittle sins, and too many people think, oh, God will mind a little slip here and there. God will mind. God is infinitely holy. And except even our least sin is covered by the blood of Christ, we shall perish in our sin, beloved. Nothing is more needful than that you and I go with our sins every day asking for mercy and grace for Christ's sake. Unless we're under the blood of Jesus, we'll perish. But this petition says the Lord is most willing that we come under His blood. We may come to Him asking, forgive us our debts. May none of you despair about this one and only way of salvation. No coming to the Savior. Let none of you doubt that there's full and free forgiveness with Him as you confess your sins and ask Him, forgive us, forgive me my debts, O Lord. The Bible says the Lord will abundantly pardon as many as come to Him in repentance and faith. Let the sinner come and the Lord will pardon. This is a faithful saying. Didn't Dr. Bickey preach on that a couple of weeks ago? And worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save, to forgive sinners. Of whom I am chief, says Paul. He is able to do to save to the uttermost, the Bible says. All that come unto God by Him. Well, who are they that truly come? Let's ask that question now. The petition itself, as Jesus gave it, helps us answer that question. And so does the parable that we read in Matthew 18. For this fifth petition, that mighty request, which God will surely bless, comes with a fitting test. The petition is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now what did Jesus mean by that addition? Notice I said addition, not condition. Many have been puzzled with this addition. Well, God, let me say here, with this addition, as we forgive our debtors, in no way, congregation, in no way takes away from the grace of the gospel. Notice the petition doesn't say, forgive us our debts because we forgive our debtors. Neither does it say, forgive us our debts insofar as we forgive our debtors. No, the addition says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And it simply means this, that where there is a true cry for forgiveness of our debts before God, there will also be, by the Holy Spirit, a forgiving spirit toward others in our homes, our congregation, and our community. God's true people acknowledge that this is a very fitting test that goes along with this fifth petition. It just makes sense. It fits with it. It belongs to it. It's impossible truly to pray. God's people know this. Forgive us, O God, our debts. While at the same time holding grudges and being unwilling, unforgiving towards your neighbor who has wronged you. The parable of Matthew 18 that we read about that unforgiving servant who received so much forgiveness but then wouldn't forgive a person who owed him something, makes this whole passage plain, makes this truth plain here. We are to forgive others 70 times 7, Jesus told Peter. And when you know what the Lord forgives us, the debts, that mighty request we bring to Him, then how can it be that you will have trouble, that you will not forgive someone who has wronged you? Oh yes, you can have trouble in that sometimes. It can be a struggle. But you bring that before the Lord when you truly ask for forgiveness. If you struggle with someone that you need to forgive, you have a hard time, you bring that before the Lord and say, God, give me a forgiving mind and heart towards that person who wronged me so much. You know what? True forgiveness from the Lord, it breaks you. It melts you. And you must forgive others when you know something of the forgiveness of the Lord in your life through Jesus Christ of all your vile sins. And this our catechism also explains well, teaching, when we truly ask for forgiveness, then we also have this evidence of God's grace in our hearts, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. Again, I say, this doesn't mean it isn't sometimes hard and a real struggle. But you bring that before the Lord. You don't just say, I'm not going to forgive that person. No way. Then you can't. If Jesus says, if you won't forgive someone, then you can't speak about forgiveness from Him either. When we offer this petition for forgiveness, we test ourselves with that second phrase, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our prayer is not genuine. It can't be true, and it's of no avail unless you find that there's forgiveness in your heart also towards our fellow man. When you are bathed in the pardoning love of God's forgiveness for your sins, then you become pardoning in turn. I read about in New Guinea, a person who had someone kill his father and drink his blood. And he became a Christian, this person, but so did the other person. And it was communion time. And they go to the table. And this man, he knew the forgiveness of God, and he went to the table. But lo and behold, who sits beside him? This very man who killed his father and drank his blood. And the man, he ran from the table. He couldn't take it. But then he went to sit down in the pews. But then he thought, how much hasn't the Lord forgiven me? And he went back to the table because he knew, how can I stay unforgiving, even of him? As he needs forgiveness from God, I need forgiveness from God. We can find each other in the forgiving mercy and love of God for Jesus' sake. Well, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Is this a prayer you also pray? And do you too see it really as a mighty request with a fitting test which God always will surely bless for Jesus' sake alone? Do you live with a repentant heart before God, asking for forgiveness of your sins and a reliant heart, trusting Him for complete forgiveness, all by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? Do you have a renewed heart, being forgiving also towards others through the working of the Spirit in looking unto Jesus? Isn't that what true Christianity is about? If you don't know this forgiveness, anyone here, this true forgiveness of God, oh, seek the Savior. For to live without the forgiveness of sins is to live with a burden of sin that will cast you in hell. But not only that, it means to live with so much discomfort, so much unrest, so much lack of peace. But if you have the forgiveness of sins, you have such a blessing for this life and such a guarantee of the life to come. Next week, Lord willing, the Lord's table will be in our midst. All confessing Christians who know to pray the fifth petition in spirit and truth are most welcome to attend that holy sacrament. Christ bids you come, in fact, because He wants to show us at that table, visibly and personally, how He delights in mercy and how through indeed His once for all sacrifice on Calvary's hill, through His shed blood, there is now endless forgiveness of our countless sins for all who trust in Him. With the Lord's Supper, God would strengthen His people in the faith and so motivate us and encourage us to glory only in Him, Jesus the Savior. And He would, by means of the supper, strengthen us to fight sin. And even when we do, every day we still have to come to Him and say, forgive us our debts. But Lord's Supper is meant to say, that's what He surely will do. You have that pledge, that sign and seal also, as well as the Word proclaiming that message. Well, will you be ready to attend the Lord's Supper next week? In honor to the Savior and in promotion of His gospel and for the strengthening of your faith. The fifth petition, if it's also your plea and your prayer, looking to Jesus as confessing Christian, you are invited. And at the table, the Lord Jesus will show us through the broken bread and the poured out wine what plenteous redemption is found with Him for poor and needy sinners who keep going to Him for all their salvation from beginning to end. And the purpose of all word and sacrament and the forgiveness of sins is that we glory in the Savior and that our lips and hearts be full of praises to Him, our triune God, as revealed in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. Amen. Psalter 362, a beautiful song to sing in response to this sermon. Still in connection with the Lord's Supper celebration for next week, we have a practice of reading from our form about attending the Lord's Supper rightly and preparing in a God-honoring way. As you find it on page 136 in the back of the Psalter, let's read the first three columns there. Page 136. There we are instructed, Beloved in the Lord Jesus, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. For I have received, Paul writes there, of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread, and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread, and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation, or literally judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Second, to direct it to that end which Christ has ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he has punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he does believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine in his own conscience whether he purposes henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he has laid aside unfeignedly, that means sincerely, all enmity, hatred, and envy, and does firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy, and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts, eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins, continuing in them is the implication here, to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke or call upon deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, all those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, those who are lying under oath, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters or gamblers, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ has ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves or outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, Notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lust of our flesh. Yet, since we are by the grace of the Holy Spirit sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remains against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of the heavenly food and drink. May this too be helpful in this week of preparation, that we look to Jesus alone as the sole basis for all our salvation, also our being able to go to the Holy Table. Let's pray in thanksgiving, and in our prayer we will remember the Abbotsford congregation of our Federation in their needs. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Savior God, thank you that we could have preaching on the subject of the forgiveness of sins. Oh, forgive us for sometimes kind of not thinking too much about it. What can be greater than the blessing of the forgiveness of sins? And the way we may receive it all by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that Savior who in His shed blood, with His shed blood, has made a way that all our sins may be removed and washed away. And instead we may be seen as righteous in Christ and be His God's children and be forever acceptable to God and be heirs of eternal life, receiving out of the plenteous redemption from Jesus Christ. Oh God, help us to glory in this. And bless the Lord's Supper to help us glory in it. That we see what a great thing this is. And that we are truly grateful, and that we live lives which show true gratitude. Lives which hate sin and which pursue after righteousness. And which seek more and more to reflect the holiness of God in every detail of life. In thought, word and deed. We know in this life we will have to pray for forgiveness of our sins all the time. Thank you that no matter how often we pray it, and how many are sins and how vile and terrible, there is forgiveness with you. Oh Lord, what a gospel. Help us to love it and to live it. We pray this afternoon for our sister church in Abbotsford, B.C. Bless that congregation, bless their pastor, bless the consistory. Be with Pastor Eric Moerdijk as he ministers there, and make him a blessing. And Lord, may that church too have much increase, that many will hear the gospel. The church has many pews that are often empty. Lord, will you fill those pews? Will you cause that there be a people hungry for the gospel of Jesus Christ, looking for the forgiveness of sins as revealed in Christ, and hearing that good news also from that place? Lord, bless us so here. We pray, help us in this preparatory week. Sometimes we have experienced that the evil one seems to trouble us so much also in preparatory week. But help us, Lord, to look to Jesus and to find all our refuge in Him. And no matter the struggle, no matter the sin, to know that in Christ we may be washed whiter than snow. Oh Lord, help us to testify not to how great we are, but how great Thou art. Also with Lord's Supper Sacrament. Hear our prayer. Bless us now further this evening also with our potluck supper and our fellowship time and our singing. Lord, may Your name be praised in all that we do. Thank You for this first day of the new week, this Lord's Day. May it guide us and bless us for all the other days and lead us in true service to You. We ask all these things, also in the forgiveness of our sins, even of this service, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Another very beautiful song that we may sing now is Psalter 83, based on Psalm 32. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven. And our doxology, go ahead. How blessed. Doxology 3:15, but receive first the Lord's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance, His favor upon you, and give you His peace. Amen.